Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you at 888-808-1019. We are crowning a champion. NBA Finals, Game 7 tonight. Oklahoma City Thunder, they win. Oh, by the way, Kevin Durant was traded today. The Knicks are still searching for a head coach. Halliburton is injured. What does that mean for the East? So much basketball to talk about, which means we bring in friend of the program, Zach Braziller from the New York Post. Hey, Zach, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Lori? How are you?
I'm doing well. All right, we'll start with the NBA Finals, Oklahoma City Thunder win. And I always think when there is a champion, when I do this show and a champion is crowned, I think about legacy and the impact on players, on coaches, on people's legacies. Let's start with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and won the scoring title, MVP of the league, MVP of the Western Conference Finals, MVP now of the NBA Finals, and a title, a ring. Where does this season rank in terms of, I don't expect you to give me 5, 6, 2, but in terms of all-time great NBA seasons, how do you put this one in perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great all-time great season when you consider those things you mentioned. Now, it's funny, you talk about him and he doesn't seem like he's from the general public. Maybe it's just the Twitter bubble I'm in with the, New York City and the Northeast, but he doesn't seem like a guy a lot of people are necessarily huge fans of. You always hear the foul baiting stuff and all that, but hey, look, I mean, an incredible year. Led the entire league in scoring, led the Thunder to a phenomenal season. It's just, I think the way this series ended kind of leaves people unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. When you consider the Halliburton injury, and who knows, Halliburton got off to a great start, and who knows how that game goes if he's healthy. It's such a shame because, it was all leading up to this Game 7 and this tough, gutty Pacers team that was underdog basically the whole postseason. And, I tweeted it, sports are cruel. And for him to be playing injured and then to tear his Achilles, after he got off to a great start in Game 7 of the Finals and after he's had just such a incredible postseason, I think the word is unfulfilled because it took so much out of this game. You knew that even though it was close at half, you knew that Pacers didn't have enough without him to win this game. It's such a shame. And, I think it takes a little starch to me out of the OKC title and SGA and all that stuff because, they beat a clearly undermanned team in Game 7. And I would have, we're going to wonder forever, really, especially if you're a Pacer fan, you're going to wonder forever what this game would have been like had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah, I said earlier, there's no doubt that now a cloud hangs over this, Game 7 and this NBA Finals. And it is something that we are going to think about for the next, year or so. But, look, if you're the Thunder 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you owe nobody anything, no apologies. We will forget over time. It will be just a line in a record book. And yeah, they won the title. They were the best team in the regular season. So they don't owe anybody any apologies. But yes, it was, the score I think was 18.
And they didn't really even celebrate. I mean, the celebration was very subdued for a franchise that's never won a title. you know, I mean, maybe they felt a little of that too. Because it was, you know, for a team with a bunch of young guys and a franchise that's never won, the celebration was, I felt, very muted and very underwhelming. They did not, they more reacted like they won a regular playoff series than they won a championship.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially, look, we sit here in the New York area where we get accused of, you know, Knicks fans going bananas for winning a, you know, after the reaction after winning game one of a first round series, is more right. than that. But it may be that, you know, or because this is the youngest team to win since 1977, they don't, you know, maybe they don't know what to do. I'm not sure, but I think that the score was 18-16 in the first quarter when Halliburton gets hurt, and no doubt that has an impact. And now with Jason Tatum being injured, with Tyrese Halliburton being injured, and Damian Lillard being injured, all of them out with the apparent, you know, Achilles injury, what does that do for the Eastern Conference and potentially for the New York Knicks?
Yeah, I've already seen odds where the Knicks are the favorite to win the Eastern Conference next year, and really they should be. We obviously don't know who's going to be the coach, and we don't know what other moves they're going to make. But yeah, I mean, obviously the Pacers are not the same without Halliburton. The Celtics are not the same without Tatum. The Cavs are still there, but the Cavs have a lot to prove in the playoffs. We all know that. You know, I think you have teams like on the rise, like the Magic, and I think the Pistons are going to be very good. I mean, they might have beat the Knicks if they were healthy in that first round. But yeah, I mean, the Knicks are, you know, it's kind of ironic. You know, the Knicks take the Pacers, you know, gave the Pacers a really tough series. You really could have won that series if not for that game one collapse. Now they fire the coach, but now you're thinking, like, maybe they should have run it back because there was no crime in losing to that Pacer team with how tough and battle tested and tough they were. So, like, it is interesting that the Knicks right now are the favorite in the Eastern Conference and they don't have a coach. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the rosters with what the Knicks have coming back, and you would think they're going to add pieces, you know, with some of these injuries, yeah, the Knicks probably enter next year the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
The biggest job of the next head coach, obviously, is to maximize the talent the Knicks have, and in particular, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, figure out how to get the most out of them, both on offense and on defense, and, you know, figure out how to get the most out of whatever the rest of the roster is. But if I said to you, what are, you know, you now are able to provide some advice or counsel to Knicks team president Leon Rose, what are the two or three top traits that you would be looking for to coach this specific Knicks team and get them over the hurdle?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think the biggest thing is you need someone with head coaching experience. You can't go the assistant route. I know it's worked for other teams in the past, but to me, there's just, when you consider this market, when you consider the pressure where you're coming in here and you're expected to get to the finals. I don't think it's fair to put someone to hire someone who's never been NBA head coach for. And I just think you're setting that person up for a failure. You know, I like the idea of Taylor Jenkins. I do not like the idea of Mike Brown at all. Jason Kidd is, you know, if they can get him, sure. I don't necessarily think he's a better coach than Tom Thibodeau, but, you know, I think if it was me, I would hire Taylor Jenkins. That's who I would hire. He did well in Memphis. I know he had a falling out there with the GM, but the guy develops talent. He's a good coach. That would be my move. He's obviously been an NBA head coach before. I just think when you consider the pressure and the expectations here, you cannot go and hire someone who's never been an NBA head coach. I just think that's putting that person in a very, very difficult position.
What are your issues with Mike Brown? Why no to him?
I know he did a good job with the Kings, but when you look at his overall body of work, a lot of that was because he had LeBron James in Cleveland. He's not going to have a LeBron James type here. The Kings, you know, had all this talent. I know they had one good year, but never played enough defense. I think he's a downgrade from Tom Thibodeau. I do. I think he's a significant downgrade from Tom Thibodeau. I don't think he's doing anything here. I don't think he's taking you to the next step. I mean, what has he ever done in his career that makes you think he's the guy to get you to the next step? Nothing. You know, he had LeBron James, and that's basically, you know, what people remember him for. I don't see any world where he's a better coach than Jenkins. I don't.
Is there another coach out there, not somebody who is a current head coach of another team, who therefore, A, you probably can't get, and B, you'd have to trade draft picks for? Is there another available head coach that you think would be interesting for the Knicks?
I mean, I think Jay Wright would have been very interesting, but obviously that's not going to happen. He's made that pretty clear. I think Jay Wright would have been absolutely fascinating because he obviously coached these guys. He's a proven winner. He's a terrific coach, but he obviously doesn't want to coach anymore. I did not like that. I know Dan Hurley went and said, well, he's not interested, but I don't think the Knicks ever were interested. I think that would have been a disaster of a move. I don't think Dan Hurley's cut out for the NBA. Look, I like him a lot personally. I've known him forever. I just think college is his calling card. I don't think his personality would work in the NBA. I think he'd burn out quickly. I mean, when you talk about college type guys, you know, the name that could be interesting if you're looking college is Nate Oates. You know, we haven't really heard him necessarily linked to the Knicks, but he's
University of Alabama, that, for people who haven't been following that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Nate Oates.
He runs a kind of pro style offense. Mm-hmm. He's a young, bright coach. He's built that program from basically nothing to, you know, replace Avery Johnson there. He's built them up from nothing to becoming, you know, an annual powerhouse now. He's a guy I know NBA teams have at least kind of thought of could be a future NBA coach. He would be a guy I think that could be interesting. Now, haven't heard him linked really to the Knicks, and you know, right now it's those three guys. You know, it's Kidd if something kind of happens there with Dallas, or Jenkins or Mike Brown. I think the Knicks should just go hire Jenkins, but that's obviously my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Zach Braziller about the NBA Finals, about the Knicks, and about the news of the day. And so the other big story, of course, that broke today, Kevin Durant traded by the Suns to the Houston Rockets. And first of all, do you think the league cares at all that that news broke today on the day of a Game 7? Any issues there?
I gotta think they don't love it, but it's one of those things where they don't control. You know, the trade was finalized and it got leaked. I remember the World Series. There one year of the World Series where the A-Rod contract got leaked during the game.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't.
If I'm remembering it correctly, I think it was that Scott Boras and he were opting out. It was of his Yankees contract. And I think that leaked out during the World Series. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they're not thrilled about it. And it's kind of like the way of the NBA now, where the off the court stuff people care more about than the actual games. You know, people care more about, you know, the Knicks coaching search and Kevin Durant trade than they do about what's actually happening on the court. You know, it's a very weird dynamic. that we have in the NBA these days are, you know, over the last week, you know, you hear like people so excited for the offseason and they think it's going to be a wild offseason and a wild draft and all this stuff. And like nobody's even talking about the NBA finals. It's
right.
The NBA is a very, it's become a very odd league because we all know how bad the regular season has gotten. And it's basically 82 exhibition games and, no one really seems to care about it. And then the playoffs come and it's really fun and exciting, but, you know, now it's all about, the draft and the off season and Durant and more moves than, you know, in this player driven league where they basically get to pick their spots. It's become the story. The off the court stuff is, let's be real, is a lot of times more interesting than on the court.
Yeah, I was going to ask you with when you say players get to pick their spots. So this is now Kevin Durant going to Houston. Any sense of, you know, your take on how did Houston do in this deal, and all things considered, the Suns in the situation they were in, how did they do?
I think both teams did well. I'm not a big Jalen Green fan. Mm-hmm. I feel like he puts up a lot of empty numbers and, you know, and so, you know, look, if you're Phoenix, you get the 10th pick, which is good. You have 5 second rounders, and second rounders have become more important assets in recent years with the second apron and the luxury tax stuff. So I do think Phoenix did well for themselves. The 10th pick in what is a very good draft is a good pick. You know, I don't necessarily think Dylan Brooks is all that useful, and Jalen Green's going to have to get a hell of a lot better to be a useful piece. But I think they did well, and if you're Houston, like, you're going for it, and you still think Durant's got something left at 37, and, you know, with some of the pieces you have yourself, you don't need Durant to be 29-year-old Kevin Durant. You need him to just be a useful player for you, a guy who's going to still score, who could still defend a little bit. So, yeah, I think it was a pretty, you know, I think it was a pretty fair trade for both sides. I mean, maybe Phoenix could have done a little better, got another first. But for the most part, I think it was a pretty fair trade. I think, though, that could work for both sides. Now, I don't think Kevin Durant is taking Houston from what they were. I mean, they had no business losing that series to the Warriors this year. The Warriors basically had 2.5 guys in that series. Houston should have won that series. But I don't think he's necessarily elevating them to making the final, you know, being right on par with OKC and making the finals. You know, I was surprised the new odds came out and they have Houston with the second best odds to win it all, which to me is completely overrating what Durant is at this stage of his career. I think it makes sense for both sides, but I don't think Durant is going to all of a sudden take Houston to a new level.
What does it say about the NBA that a player of Kevin Durant's caliber, or what does it say about Durant that this is about to be his one, you know, Oklahoma City, Golden State, Brooklyn, Phoenix, and now this will be his fifth NBA team?
I'm sure if you gave him truth serum, he would say he should have never left Golden State. It was a huge mistake.
By the way, he should not have.
Right. He should not have ever left Golden State.
That was a mistake.
It was obviously a mistake to hitch himself to Kyrie Irving and come to Brooklyn. He had a great thing there with the Warriors. He should have stayed there. He made a mistake, and it's led to a lot of movement. It is weird it is a strange situation for just an all-time great player. And he is an all-time great player. He's got his warts, and we all know about them, and people will talk about them, but he's an all-time great player. He's won championships. He's been the best player in the finals. So for the fact that he just keeps bouncing around is kind of strange. And I think that would have been a huge mistake by the Knicks to try to trade for him. I think you would have had to give up stuff you shouldn't have had to give up. At his age, I don't know if he's changing their dynamic all that much. I think the Knicks were very smart not to look to try to bring him in.
Yeah. Look, most of what the Knicks have done is smart. We'll see. pressure's on right now to make a smart decision in hiring a new head coach with the Eastern Conference, with all the injuries seemingly wide open. Always appreciate the basketball talk. Zach Braziller from the New York Post. You should follow him online and in the Post. Zach, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Lori, have a good night.
All right, 888-808-1019. That's the number. We've got about 13 minutes to close strong. Phone lines are open. You want to talk Yankees winning 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. Volpe sat for a day, coming off of a hot, game. Was that the right move from Aaron Boone? But the Yankees with a comeback win. The Mets got absolutely whacked on Sunday night. Lose 2 of 3 to the Phillies, are in a tough stretch. And we've got NBA Finals. We crowned a champion, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Win Game 7, but a big but, a big cloud over this series and Game 7. Tyrese Halliburton injured and goes down in the first quarter. The score at the time, 18-16. This was a close game. This was a close series. And the Pacers lose Halliburton in the first quarter, and Thunder might have won this thing anyway. They were the team with the best record, the number one seed, home court advantage, all of that. They had the MVP in Shea, but hard not to feel like we got ripped off of a potential epic Game 7. And this one just always felt like it had a cloud hanging over it. All right, we'll be back to wrap it up. You can still call in or hit me up on Twitter on X, 888-808-1019. By the way, coming up after me, Chris McMonagall, C-Mac for your overnight. I just saw him. C-Mac is in the building. And so keep it tuned here. We got you covered for your overnight.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.